4. Perhaps he imagined, as he made his exit, that as soon as he was left alone, Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch would begin beating on the wall with his fists, and no doubt he would have been glad to see this, if that had been possible, but if so, he was greatly mistaken. Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch was still calm. He remained standing for 2 minutes in the same position by the table, apparently plunged in thought, but soon a cold and listless smile came onto his lips. He slowly sat down again in the same place in the corner of the sofa and shut his eyes as though through weariness. The corner of the letter was still peeping from under the paperweight, but he didn't even move to cover it. He soon sank into complete forgetfulness. When Pyotr Stepanovitch went out without coming to see her, as he had promised, Varvara Petrovna, who had been worn out by anxiety during these days, could not control herself, and ventured to visit her son herself, though it was not her regular time. She was still haunted by the idea that he would tell her something conclusive. She knocked at the door gently as before, and again, receiving no answer, she opened the door. Seeing that Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch was sitting strangely motionless, she cautiously advanced to the sofa with a throbbing heart. She seemed struck by the fact that he could fall asleep so quickly, and that he could sleep sitting like that, so erect and motionless, so that his breathing was even scarcely perceptible. His face was pale and forbidding, but it looked, as it were, numb and rigid. His brows were somewhat contracted and frowning. He positively had the look of a lifeless wax figure. She stood over him for about 3 minutes, almost holding her breath, and suddenly she was seized with terror. She withdrew on tiptoe, stopped at the door, hurriedly made the sign of the cross over him, and retreated unobserved, with a new oppression and a new anguish at her heart. He slept a long while, more than an hour, and still in the same rigid pose. Not a muscle of his face twitched. There was not the faintest movement in his whole body, and his brows were still contracted in the same forbidding frown. If Varvara Petrovna had remained another 3 minutes, she could not have endured the stifling sensation that this motionless lethargy roused in her, and would have waked him. But he suddenly opened his eyes, and sat for 10 minutes, as immovable as before, staring persistently and curiously, as though at some object in the corner which had struck him, although there was nothing new or striking in the room. Suddenly, there rang out the low, deep note of the clock on the wall. With some uneasiness, he turned to look at it, but almost at the same moment the other door opened, and the butler, Alexei Yegorych, came in. He had in one hand a greatcoat, a scarf, and a hat, and in the other a silver tray with a note on it. 9:30, he announced softly, and laying the other things on a chair, he held out the tray with the note, a scrap of paper unsealed and scribbled in pencil. Glancing through it, Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch took a pencil from the table, added a few words, and put the note back on the tray. "Take it back as soon as I have gone out, and now dress me," he said, getting up from the sofa. Noticing that he had on a light velvet jacket, he thought for a minute, and told the man to bring him a cloth coat, which he wore on more ceremonious occasions. At last, when he was dressed and had put on his hat, he locked the door by which his mother had come into the room, took the letter from under the paperweight, and without saying a word, went out into the corridor, followed by Alexei Yegorych. From the corridor they went down the narrow stone steps of the back stairs to a passage which opened straight into the garden. In the corner stood a lantern and a big umbrella. "Owing to the excessive rain, the mud in the streets is beyond anything," Alexei Yegorych announced, making a final effort to deter his master from the expedition. But opening his umbrella, the latter went without a word into the damp and sodden garden, which was dark as a cellar. The wind was roaring and tossing the bare treetops. The little sandy paths were wet and slippery. Alexei Yegorych walked along as he was, bareheaded in his swallowtail coat, lighting up the path for about 3 steps before them with the lantern. "Won't it be noticed?" Nikolai Vsyevolodovich asked suddenly. "Not from the windows. Besides, I have seen to all that already," the old servant answered in quiet and measured tones. "Has my mother retired?" "Her Excellency locked herself in at 9 o'clock, as she has done the last few days, and there is no possibility of her knowing anything." "At what hour am I to expect, Your Honour?" "At 1 or 1:30, not later than 2. "Yes, sir." Crossing the garden by the winding paths that they both knew by heart, they reached the stone wall, and there in the farthest corner found a little door, which led out into a narrow and deserted lane, and was always kept locked. It appeared that Alexei Yegorych had the key in his hand. "Won't the door creak?" Nikolai Vsyevolodovich inquired again, but Alexei Yegorych informed him that it had been oiled yesterday, as well as today. He was by now wet through. Unlocking the door, he gave the key to Nikolai Vsyevolodovich. "If it should be your pleasure to be taking a distant walk, I would warn Your Honour that I am not confident of the folk here, especially in the back lanes and especially beyond the river," he could not resist warning him again. He was an old servant, who had been like a nurse to Nikolai Vsyevolodovich, and at one time used to dandle him in his arms. He was a grave and severe man who was fond of listening to religious discourse and reading books of devotion. "Don't be uneasy, Alexei Yegorych. May God's blessing rest on you, sir, but only in your righteous undertakings." "What?" said Nikolai Vsyevolodovich, stopping short in the lane. Alexei Yegorych resolutely repeated his words. He had never before ventured to express himself in such language in his master's presence. Nikolai Vsyevolodovich locked the door, put the key in his pocket, and crossed the lane, sinking 5 or 6 inches into the mud at every step. He came out at last into a long, deserted street. He knew the town like the 5 fingers of his hand, but Bogoyavolensky Street was a long way off. It was 10:00 when he stopped at last before the locked gates of the dark old house that belonged to Filipov. The ground floor had stood empty since the Lebyadkins had left it, and the windows were boarded up, but there was a light burning in Shartov's room on the 2nd floor. As there was no bell, he began banging on the gate with his hand. A window was opened, and Shartov peeped out into the street. It was terribly dark and difficult to make out anything. Shartov was peering out for some time, about 1 minute.
"Is that you?" he asked suddenly.
"Yes," replied the uninvited guest. Shartov slammed the window, went downstairs, and opened the gate. Nikolai Vsyevolodovich stepped over the high sill and, without a word, passed by him, straight into Kirillov's lodge.